rides his pony down life's lane, searching for the why of all the pain he knows. It'll never be the same.
Hey, Legs.
Hi, Lizzie. Good afternoon.
How are you today?
Grand. Very good.
Well, we're in Chico. We just got a coffee at Stoble, which is a cool co-working space, and they've retrofitted an old building, and it's three levels. It's a really cool place, and they have good coffee. And this is Punk Bicycles Week, and today we're going to be talking about women and bicycles. And we always like to start off by what we mean by punk, in case this is your first episode. We realized that when we named it Punk Farm Love Life, that what we really meant was punk farm, punk love, punk life, punk everything. Everything, that is, that falls under the punk ethos of unity, DIY, individualism, strength, speaking out against injustice, community, compassion, equality, and peace. And we like to read that just so when we talk about punk, people are thinking of anything that's not those things, that you'll know what we're talking about. So we thought we'd start off by talking about a film we just watched, or a documentary that was really great. You want to tell us about
that,
Lace?
So search around Peacock. And on Peacock, there is a documentary. It's called Uphill Climb, The Women Who Conquered the Impossible Race. So it's like a very short documentary, relatively, about in 1984, for the first time, women were allowed to be in the Tour de France. It had always been a man's sport, professional sport. They allowed the women to ride some of the stages, much shorter, but with the major climbs. And it detailed what happened. And, you know, back then, the women rode for their country, not for a trade team. They weren't pros. They made no money. They didn't know, most of them did not speak the language. And it was this amazing story of courage and just, it's full on, as we call punk, it's DIY. They didn't care what anybody thought. They just did it. There was no question they were going to finish the race. In fact, they were upset that they weren't allowed to ride longer distances. And it ended up where all but one woman finished the race, and it was won by an American, Marianne Martin. And it just showed that how different things were there then, because they have this interview with Jeannie Longo, who's a very famous French woman cyclist, and she basically, this pro French man cyclist, is at this table in a TV interview.
You knew his name though, right?
Yeah, Marc Madiot.
Yeah, there you go.
Was basically going off on her, saying that this is not, this should not be happening.
No one is
badgering her. In fact, I guess the TV commentator was trying to get him to stop, and he wouldn't stop. And sitting, watching her, I've watched her career back then and know what type of woman she is. And surprisingly, she was very quiet, had sort of this smile on her face, because she could walk the walk. And she could do it. And she just listened to this man just be completely ridiculous. So you can, it's on Peacock. I don't know where else it's on. So hopefully you can watch it. It's just look under cycling, under the Peacock streaming, you know, information.
Yeah, well, it may not be on Peacock when you listen to this, but
right.
You can search it.
And on the show notes, we'll give you the actual website for that particular documentary. And it'll point you, if it's not on Peacock, it'll then point you to where it's going to go.
Nice. It was great. It was these women that rode because they loved it and had dreamed of the Tour de France, and, you know, just were happy to be there. And that seems, that's the punk aesthetic, you know, doing something because you love it. And it was very DIY. There was no support, as you said, and they came back and saw the a current one, and they all got together, and they were happy for all the female writers, but they also were kind of, some of them were like, we didn't have any of this, no fans, no, you know, it just wasn't promoted, but they did it for the love of it, and they showed everyone how they could ride, how they could ride.
Exactly.
Those hills.
Actually, really, one of the things that I found really telling was at the towards the end. Well, I don't want to ruin the movie.
Just, yeah, don't spoil.
I'm not going to spoil it. All I will say is, at the very end, listen to Marianne Martin after she's won the race.
Okay, oh, you're spoiling
well, no, because they...
Yes, you are.
No, hang on. Just listen to her, what she has to say after she won the race. That's all I will say.
There you go.
Yeah.
At the beginning, so not a spoiler alert, there's a commentator saying, Greg LeMond, the first American to win the Tour de France... And then they cut to Marianne Martin or someone talking about Marianne Martin, who actually was the first U.S. person to win the Tour of France and completely, you know, disregarded. And, yeah, she was on the podium or there with Greg LeMond. He had won Best Young Rider.
Best Young Rider that year, yeah. So.
Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I'm a little nervous because I have some fun things to talk about, and it's a little bit more. But if we don't get to it all, we'll cover it in another episode. But the first, you know, we were looking for things when we decided that all of the topics were going to bring us home to this punk message, and we came up with this Bicycle Punk Week. Women and Bicycles led me to find this article about... the article's titled Brown Girl Punks Fight Bro Culture on Bikes, and it's an article on Medium.com by Nydia Melissa Bautista back in May of 2016. I'm going to read a bit of it. In a city where young women of color are incessantly subject to street harassment and multiple forms of violence and pushed to the fringes of political invisibility by macho activists and cultural counterparts, a collective is using the punk aesthetic and cycling to claim space. LA's Ovarian Psychos Bicycle Brigade. When I first read it two days ago, Legs was like, right on. The Ovarian Psychos are an LA-based cycling club that started in the summer of 2010 as a response to the lack of female cyclists of color in the dominating white middle and upper class macho bike culture, aka mammals. That's not in the article, but middle-aged men in Lycra. Since its founding, the collective has promoted women of color in leadership and activism and has been a strong feminist response to bike mobility and violence against women in multiple communities in the city. All the while, it's remained true to the DIY Chicana punk legacy of East LA. They do a monthly ride called the Luna Ride. And there's a film about them. You can buy it on Vimeo. And I bet if you search around, maybe you can even find it other places. But it's called The Ovarian Psychos. Riding at night through streets deemed dangerous in Eastside LA, the Ovarian Psychos use their bicycles to confront the violence in their lives. And it goes on. It kind of highlights one of the members, a single mother and poet. Poet MC dedicated to recruiting an unapologetic misfit crew of women of color. Her name is Zayla. The film intimately chronicles Zayla as she struggles to strike a balance between her activism and her 9-year-old daughter, Yoli. One thing on their website that was very punk to me, the whole thing's very punk, but the tagline for the Ovarian Psychos is one very angry anti-authoritarian squad, and then to serve, not to self-serve, in Spanish, servir y no servirse. Those in the collective must do political work out of consciousness and not out of desire for personal gain.
Wow.
That's kind of the I choose we philosophy. Everything for everyone, nothing for ourselves. Para todos, todo. Para nosotros, nada. So what do you think about that?
Well, I didn't, you know, when you first brought it up and I saw their picture, I thought, oh, This is going to be cool.
This is badass.
Yeah, this is pretty badass. Check out their pictures. It's pretty badass. I'd like to see them riding down the street one day.
Yeah, well, they have the masks with the logos and the fallopian tubes and they have some cool stuff going on.
I agree. Very punk.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. That when we're doing something that it's for the whole. Next, any questions about that?
Nope. Okay. No, very important.
Well, thanks for letting me share that. I'm looking forward to watching the film. We haven't watched it yet, and we will do so, and we'll report more on it. The next thing I wanted to share is another punk women. It's a book that is about two women riding across the U.S. I'm holding it up to the YouTube channel, riding across the U.S. to promote bicycles over cars. It's called Bike Rock, and it's part of the Pedro the Water Dog Saves the Planet series. It's book three, and I write a little environmental adventure series. This is it, and this book, I would say, maybe my favorite. I was just going to read a little excerpt. There's a manifesto in this book, and I was thinking about why I think, and I didn't prepare this, so this is going to, let's see how this comes off, why Tilly and Camus are punk. And
you should say who those two people are.
Yeah, those are the two protagonists. They're best friends. Tilly, they're both athletes, and Tilly is Native American from Northern Idaho. And the first book, she's a triathlete. Her friend Camus is very irreverent, tattooed, funny, just their best buddies. They met in kindergarten, and in book three, they take off to ride across the U.S. and a whole group ends up following them. And this chapter, they're assigned to write the manifesto. So I just thought I'd read a little bit about it.
You go, girl.
I can't believe they assigned us the hardest part, Camus says, sitting with Tilly at Heaven's Brothers. Camus looks at her MacBook. Tilly has a notebook and pen. I'm pretty sure we assigned it to ourselves, but everyone else has hard parts too. The details of a city bike plan, for example. True, but this is the part that may make the whole thing work or not. What do you mean? A manifesto is the inspirational vision. You surprise me sometimes, Tilly smiles. How's that? You pretend not to care, and then you always seem to get to the heart of the matter. I am heart, sister. Yes, you are. How far have you got? Tilly reads from her notebook. We ride to save the planet. That's too tame. Aw, a little hurt. I guess you're right. Tame is better than lame, I guess. It's a little lame, too. Camus teases, then turns serious. It's got to be strong enough to grab people. Stronger than this double espresso. She picks up her phone. I found some things online. There's even a manifesto handbook. Like what? Tilly asks. We'll need a list of tenets, of course. Those will be in the plans coming from the mayors. But it also needs an intro, a preamble. That's short with a sense of urgency. Did you just use the word preamble? Tilly smiles. It also says it needs some theater, Camus says. And I won't go on from there. But I won't read the manifesto. I read it for Legs the other day. I'll read the manifesto in another episode. But they decided to take this thing on, and they ride to D.C. And I'm very proud of this book. And it's short. It's read in a couple hours. And yeah, I just wanted to tell everyone about this book that I'm really proud of, and it's about women in cycling. Oh, the other thing I wanted to read is just there's a couple things in the afterword, which one is the manifesto that they write. The other is this quote by Susan B. Anthony. Let me tell you what I think of bicycling. I think it has done more to emancipate women than anything else in the world. It gives women a feeling of freedom and self-reliance. I stand and rejoice every time I see a woman ride by on a wheel, the picture of free, untrammeled womanhood. Susan B. Anthony.
Can I look at this for a second? So first of all, Lizzie's not a self-promoter, but I'm going to be one for her. See this cover? That
it's
is
pretty
punk. That is punk. This is Lizzie. This
That's
is punk.
Burning Man. There's Burning Man in the book. That one of the helpers who oversees the ride, he comes from, he's one of the elders at Burning Man, and he's, it's got Burning Man in it, so.
Yeah, it's really punk. And you have a very
Maybe
incredible man.
Maybe I'll have you read the manifesto sometime, but
I'd love
we'll bring that up another time. So I thank everyone for indulging me in that, and I tell Legs all the time, you know, thank goodness for you, because, you know, I wasn't a punk music fan. How am I punk? But that book is punk. Gosh darn it.
You are one of those people that are punk, and you didn't even know it
exactly.
Until now.
I'm one of those.
You're one of those. And also somebody that loves cycling. And a woman that loves cycling is a keeper. And that's, you know, go figure that there would be a woman that wrote a book about cycling and now is punk and didn't even know it.
Well, I have something else for you. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. So I was looking for another example of, you know, a woman in cycling, someone making bikes, and came upon a woman named Georgina Terry. Do you know her?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about her?
There's frames with her name on them.
That's right.
Yeah.
She has, there's the very cool film about her. We'll put the link. It's on YouTube. It's in the show notes. It's just beautiful. She had, her mom died when she was 12, and she had polio as a kid. She was raised by her father and her grandfather, and you know, she could do everything when she was young. She had it when she was 2, and as she grew up, she did everything all the other kids did, and it was never a big deal. You can see there's a shot of her walking in the film, and you can see that it did impact her walk to this day. And I would imagine like that freedom of being on a bike was probably amazing back then too. But I'm just going to read a little bit of her history. So her tagline is hand-built steel bicycles for women. The website is GeorginaTerry.com. I started building bicycle frames in my basement in the 80s. I was curious about the frame itself, how it worked, how it was built. Studying the differences between male and female anatomy, I built bikes with proportional geometry and properly sized components for the rider. From there, I built a bike company, Terry Precision Bicycles for Women, which continues to design and market the best women's saddles and cycling apparel, blah, blah, blah. In the website, there's a great page on steel, and when you taught me that steel is real, it's got, the page is on Y Custom, and it says, brace yourself. Steel is fast, comfortable, safe, strong, and lighter than you think. Get ready for a bike that will change everything you thought you knew about the joy of cycling, because it will be a bike built just for you. That means it will be a natural extension of your body, your best friend, your loyal supporter who will take you wherever you want to go, no questions asked. Lighter, customizable, durable, green. And those are the highlights of the difference in steel. And then regarding green, Ride Magazine recently calculated the cost to the planet of manufacturing bikes. Steel was the least expensive, about half the cost of making a carbon fiber frame. And it looked into greenhouse gases and also the extraction aspects. So that was pretty cool. And I think she's punk because she, to this day, finds that the story of why you would need a bike for women, no one really grabs onto it very much.
Nope.
That it's the one-on-one personal story when she's with someone and they know about her and what she's doing that makes the sale versus some general public opinion about the truth of the science. I mean, it makes so much sense. And in the film, she talks about more of the mass of the weight of a woman and the muscle size and all of those things. But so here's this thing that has been hard to do from the start. She's still doing it. And there's one story where she worked for a short time. I think people who are individualists have a challenging time working for a traditional company, right?
Right.
And she worked for Pittsburgh Pain Manufacturers or something. I think it's PPM. And she had a tough time. And I just imagine she was very opinionated, and she lasted whatever amount of time she lasts. And she said this manager said to her this phrase that she felt like he thought it would be an insult, and it was actually a huge compliment to her. And he said, "You are an absolute maverick." And yeah, pretty punk, huh?
Pretty punk. And I can relate to not having bosses. I understand. It's hard. It's hard. Yeah, but she was ahead of her time, and continues to be, you know, do so, because she makes a bike specifically for women. It's, you know, if you look at the size and everything, it's pretty amazing what she's done and thought about way before her time. You know, other people was doing it, and she's still around. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, she, in the film, she says she designed, not designed, she built her first bike copying her, I didn't grab my book, but maybe I can remember it in my mind. I had this part in my notes. A Schwinn, is there like a 1920 or a 19.2? Anyway, I didn't grab my book, so I apologize. But she completely rebuilt her bike. And she realized when she did that, how they had cut corners. And it made her start thinking about these things and this design. I just think, you know, how cool, like that phrase about 10,000 hours, like you start in, you do the thing, then you do the next thing. And regarding women on her website, today I'm building bikes one-on-one with and for you. I hope I'm a part of a movement that encourages women to think for themselves, to be stubborn, to break the rules, and not be afraid to be a pain in the butt sometimes. Susan B. Anthony did, and it turned out pretty well for her. So I think here's one spectrum of, okay, white women building bikes, brown women, activists, you know, but this whole group of women and how a bike just lends itself to that freedom and that individualism. And yeah.
Bravo. Bravo. Really. It's like they're women are not talked about in cycling like they should be. Their contributions have been amazing. Their abilities are amazing. You know, I've always thought of it that, you know, if they can have, if women can have children and know what that pain is, their pain tolerance is way more than a man's, and so they have to be good at especially bike racing and all the pain that's involved, the physical pain. You know, it came through in that film that I talked about, because these women did not know even what the climbs were, so they didn't know what gearing or nothing. They had nothing. They did it all on their own, and they were able to get over these climbs without being told what gearing they had to have or whatever, because their pain threshold is amazing. You know, they think outside the box. And Georgina Terry did that a long, long time ago, where bikes were, and still this day, sort of one size fits all. And it's made for the male frame, you know, male body. And she said, no, I'm not going to do that. And she stayed in business this long through the ups and downs of cycling. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Well, I think they've found with endurance sports that it's more mind, and that women are... can really compete in those longer endurance, which is what the tour.
Yeah, they say it's 90% mental. When you get to the upper level, it's 90% mental.
In book one, when Tilly is, she can swim and she can run, but she needs to learn how to cycle. And I wrote this scene about bike polo, and with my daughter, we were in Seattle, and this is very, strikes me as very punk. This bike polo scene in different places, but Seattle has a bike polo scene, and it's equal men and women, and Yeah, cool bikes, and they're all, you know, that comes from originally, I think, from the Bike Messenger scene, and yeah, so.
Yeah, I thought that.
Go women.
Yeah, go women.
Go bikes.
Go bikes. Right on. All great right. Episode.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Well, we will talk to you soon and do things. Don't buy things. I'm really tired and didn't have enough coffee.
Yeah, we're both the same. What is it? Plants.
Something.
Yeah, plants, punk, peace, and something of that order. You know, yeah, we're getting there. You know, yeah, we're both, you know, sort of punchy, but we did
usually
it.
Record in the morning, and this is the afternoon. But we're sober. We don't drink, so it's not that. It's just being a little bit tired. Yeah. And we are really grateful for you, and we will see you soon.
Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Rogers pulled me down life's lane, searching for the why of all the pain he knows.
Thank you for listening to the Legs and Lizzie Punk Farm Love Life podcast. Please subscribe to get notified of new episodes. We'd love to have you as part of the Legs and Lizzie family. It really helps us if you also leave a review.
You can support the podcast by becoming a Legs and Lizzie patron at patreon.com. Just search Legs and Lizzie. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. Podcast music is by Lizzie's brother, who goes by Squint Todd and the Horse Thieves. See the show notes for links to other things we mentioned.
Be safe and happy until next time.
Do stuff, make stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, plants.
We don't need much, we just need each other.
There's a coyote bawling in the pouring rain. Sometimes he thinks he can feel his pain, he knows it'll never be the same. His old black dog just tags along and listens while he sings his song. Love is all she knows. On and on they go. Oh, strangers cry, lonelier than pissed out wine. There's no wonder why he's bound to drift along. To the heavens, his only friend alone. On the widest train he's riding, so damn few of all. There's Jimson weed and tumbleweeds. Drift along. this old world. She goes round and round. Damn little good within it he has found. She's a sad, sad song. The joke goes on and on. From the dust, dust he returns. It has to happen, let them fire.